the passage that Scott just read for us in Ephesians chapter 5, that will be a bit of a springboard for us here this morning. Interesting, my wife and I were talking on the way in today about the passage that is up on the wall behind me. And really what Paul is doing in Ephesians chapter 5 is he is confirming with the church in Ephesus that message right there. This is the way, walk ye in it. What he's doing is he's continuing the message that has been given from the beginning of time to human beings, that there is a God who wants to have a relationship with us, and we have the privilege of actually being able to walk with Him. In many ways, we have things much better than Adam and Eve had them. Adam and Eve had the privilege of walking with God. But what they didn't know was the specific love that God had for them. How much love? So much love that He would show it in this way. That He would send His only Son to die for the sinners of this world. Oh, and by the way, that's all of us. And that's how much God loves us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we believers, we have the privilege of being able now to walk with God, to walk through this world with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in a way that is pleasing to God. But what it's going to require is a new set of eyes. And God has equipped us well with some new glasses, if you will. He has given us the Word, and He's given us the indwelling Holy Spirit to make this Word come alive, to make these truths actually become something that we can understand and something that we can live. I have spoken with so many people who have said, after they were saved, I can understand this now. I read it for years, but I just didn't get it. And it's not that after you get saved, boom, now you understand the whole of Scripture. We are mining out these truths constantly. But believers, isn't it a blessing when you're reading the Word and the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and you say, oh, it's a light bulb moment. You say, I get it. Thank you, God, for showing me truth and helping me now to walk in that truth. This is the way, walk in it. We saw in verse 2, walk in love as Christ loved us. We could look down to verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk now as children of light. We jump across to verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. What is the opposite of the wise? It's the fool. So don't walk like a fool. God wants you to know His truth, and He wants you to be able to walk carefully with Him. I so appreciated the connection in our Sunday school hour this morning with William Perkins. He talked about a distinct piety. What does that mean? A personal reformation. What does that mean? It's a walk with Christ. Truth, he said, quote, truth engages the whole person in living for Christ. In other words, truth involves all of me now walking in the way of Jesus. And today what we will be doing is we will be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, using Ephesians chapter 5 as a bit of a springboard. I am very, very used to preaching out of consecutive texts. We have been in the Gospel of Luke at Wausau Bible Church for the last 2 years. I think we're in chapter 11. We got a ways to go. So obviously what's going on here this weekend is a little bit different. We are taking a bit of a shotgun approach, and that's okay from time to time because it's important for us to see the sweep of Scripture. What is God continually communicating to us? When we hone in and go through like the Gospel of Luke, we see it in a very specific way. Well, this morning we're going to be all over the place in the Word of God, primarily in the New Testament, but we'll use this passage in Ephesians chapter 5 as a bit of a springboard for us. Again, let's just focus our attention on verses 8, 9, and 10, okay? For at one time you were darkness. You remember that? I do. I remember when I walked in darkness. And as I shared with my testimony, those of you who were able to bear through my tears, but as I shared through my testimony yesterday, I remember trying on my own to make it make sense in my mind. I'm just going to live like this, and if they're Christians, then I'm certainly a Christian. Well, this is what they said to do, so I should have no problem getting into heaven. For years, walking with my eyes darkened and just being blind to the truth. And we read here in verse 8, at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light. Here's why. Because you're in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. So the response to that then is to walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. In other words, that way of life that's consistent with the gospel, that's consistent with the truth that God is working through the ages to redeem people. Verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And it really, for the believer, is not that where we live. We live our lives trying to discern what is right with the Lord, what is pleasing to the Lord. And God hasn't just left it up to us and said, okay, well, go find your way. Again, He's given us the Word, and He's given us the Holy Spirit, and He's blessed us with the local church. And so we're going to learn about what it means to walk through our daily life, go through our daily routine, our daily walk with new eyes. Eyes of truth, eyes of the Word, eyes of the Lord. As we begin this morning, think about this. How many of you have ever walked on a treadmill? How many of you have ever stood still on a treadmill? How many of you have ever stood still on a treadmill while it's on? Okay, a few of you, unfortunate souls. There are some people who walk on the treadmill, and they do hundreds of miles on the treadmill. They're not going anywhere, but they are doing that. They're involved in that activity to get something out of it. They're involved in that activity to get physical fitness. They move so that they can stay fit. But as we all know, if they were to stop moving while that treadmill is on, bad things would happen. Maybe you've seen the videos of a cat or a dog getting thrown off the end of a treadmill. It's especially funny when it's a cat, but I digress. Sprawled out on the floor behind the treadmill, and they learn quickly that you better keep pace with the flow of the track. The lesson is simple. You must keep walking on a moving treadmill. But really, there's an equally simple lesson for us here in the Scriptures, and it is that the Christian life is intended to be active. If you're a note taker, write that down. The Christian life is intended to be active. The Bible actually has quite a bit to say about walking. In fact, walking is the very essence of Christian living. When the Word of God uses that word walk, the idea is manner of life or how you live. Sometimes we're walking, sometimes we're running through life, but how we live is to be patterned after and in submission to the direction given to us in the Word of God. And so, verse 2 again, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Okay, so we walk after that pattern. We're told to walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. All of that implies activity. How do you find out what is acceptable to the Lord? How do you find out what the will of the Lord is? By walking in the light. So many people are confused by the will of God. But the will of God is not meant to be a mystery to us. That's why several times, I believe it's five times in the New Testament, we are told this is the will of God. God's will is, God wants us to know His will. It's not to be a mystery to us. And so, by walking in the light, by allowing our natural works of darkness to be exposed to the truth of God's Word, and then verse 9, notice in verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. What does that mean? It means that believing by faith that God's way is good and right and true, we are able to put off those works of darkness and walk in a way that is pleasing to God. The New Testament writers say quite a bit about the connection between our faith and how we live our daily lives. So again, if you take notes, jot these passages down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling, to live your life in a way that's consistent with the calling with which you were called. Well, how do you become a servant of Christ? You become a servant of Christ by faith. So how are we to conduct our daily life? How are we to walk in our daily life? We are to walk by faith. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He who abides in him by faith, he who abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. So we are to live our lives by faith just as Jesus lived his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. In Christ, we, quote, walk by faith and not by sight. It's amazing how many of our hymns bring this idea into play. I'm so thankful for hymn writers because what they do is they take these major themes and give us such clear and concise truths to sing about. Walk by faith and not by sight. One of our favorites. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. Right now, I'm living by faith. I'm trusting God. I'm reading His Word. But there is coming a day when that faith will be laid aside because I will be living my faith as a reality. I will be in the sight of God. Within sight of God, I will know the glories of heaven. And so my faith will be put aside then, but now I walk by faith. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Oh, it just happens to be by faith. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so walk in Him. Walk by faith in Him. How do I walk by faith? The more I get to know Him, the more I will be equipped to live this life of faith, to put faith into action, to put my belief, to put footwork behind my beliefs. Camp out here for just a minute. I'm in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now think about that word received for a minute. The Greek word that's translated received in that passage is the same word that is used in other passages to speak of the reception or receiving of the apostolic traditions or the teachings about the life, work, and significance of Jesus. And so, a familiar passage most likely to many of you, if you would turn back to 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll recognize where we are most likely when we get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received, there's our word, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and then we're familiar with that passage describing the Lord's table and that time of communion that we are privileged to be able to share in. But I receive from the Lord what I also delivered to you. The reception of teaching, specifically here from the Lord. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is a key passage here. We read in verse 6, 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord and not in walking consistently with the tradition that you received from us. What is Paul talking about? Well, obviously he's talking about this same walk because he's going to challenge the church in Thessalonica to walk just like he challenged the church in Ephesus to walk. It's the same message across the board. So he wants them to have a walk of faith. But notice he says here that we command you that you keep away from any brother who's not walking this way. Rather, they're walking in idleness, not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. What's the tradition? These traditions, it's not secret teachings, not special messages that are passed down from a bishop or another group of spiritual elite through the centuries. Hey, you really want to know? Okay, well, this is what you've got to do to get in good with God. That's not what the tradition is here. These are the teachings of the apostles. What are the teachings of the apostles known to us today as? The New Testament. So what Paul is doing is he is exhorting believers in Colossae to hold fast to the Christ. Hold fast to his way, the Messiah, spoken of by the prophets, spoken of by the apostles, and we do this by faith. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, by faith, faith in the teaching that was passed on to you, so walk in him. Walk in obedience to that same teaching. Now, if you would, turn back to Ephesians. Again, we're in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Walking in Christ is submission to the way of the King. All throughout Jesus' ministry, and this has become very, very clear to us as we worked our way through the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has a message. He has a goal. He has something he's trying to communicate to people. What is it? It is the way of the kingdom of God. And over again, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom has come. The time has come. He's initiating this time. Well, walking with Christ, living life as a Christ follower, is living in submission to the way of the King. Our Savior, all throughout the New Testament, calls us to faith-filled obedience. Obedience not because we have to obey to earn our salvation. We touched on that in Sunday school. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own works. You can't boast in this. Salvation is from God. It's His. He gives it to us. So this faith-filled obedience is not that we might attempt to earn our salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches. But that we may display our gratitude and thankfulness for His salvation. It is a response to the grace that has been showered on us by God Himself. The Gospel of John, the Epistle of 1 John, they both teach us that if we love Him, there is evidence of that. That love for Christ evidences itself in the keeping of commandments, which is not burdensome. In other words, when I am saved, what I actually want to do is I want to live in a way that is pleasing to Him. I want to live in a way that's pleasing to Him because the more that I live in obedience to His word, the more people all around me have an opportunity to see Him most accurately. I live out His love in a hate-filled world. I live out His light, as Paul says to the Ephesians, in a very, very dark world. I get to become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. So to take it one step further, it is not simply a keeping of the commandments, but it is a reflection of God's holiness and His love to a lost and dying world. We have the privilege of saying, I am actually in union with Christ. And because I'm in union with Christ, we will grow in our knowledge and application of the gospel as we bow to Him as Lord and King. I shared with some of you yesterday that God gave me the privilege of coaching at a public high school in Minnesota while we were there for 6 years. And it was no surprise. I didn't keep this hidden from any of my players or other coaches that I coach with that I was a pastor. And so from time to time, we would get in discussions or they would make comments. And we were in a state championship game, and I was one of the assistant coaches on the varsity team. I was the head coach of the junior varsity team. And so I would come in after the JV game, and I would come into the varsity game. We had our last JV game. I finished coaching and then hustled over to the stadium where the varsity was going to be playing. And as I came in, the head coach turns around and he says, "Oh, it's always good when you've got God on your side." And I said, "Whoa." I said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute." Now, here's the truth. I had this privilege of having this conversation. I actually know God. Now, that blows someone away who does not walk with the Lord. But to say, "Yeah, I actually know God." What do you mean? And it opens wide the opportunity to talk about how I am now, because of the work of Christ, an adopted son. I have been brought into the family of God. And so I don't have a special in. You can have that in too. You can come to Christ too. And Noel and I had several good conversations. Noel was from Ireland. Yeah. Couldn't remember if it was Scotland or Ireland. Noel was from Ireland. And so he had a very Roman Catholic approach to religion. And oh, you must have a special in because you're a pastor. No, Noel, you can have it too. You can walk with God. And so what the Bible tells us, what the Bible shows us, what Paul is communicating in Ephesus and Colossae and Thessalonica and churches all around the Mediterranean, what he is communicating is this, is that because of the grace and the love that God has showered on us, because for all who call upon the name are guaranteed gloriously saved, you get to walk with God. You get to walk in this love as Christ loved us, Paul said to the Colossians. Matthew Henry writes this, "If we live in him, we shall be rooted in him. And the more firmly we are rooted in him, the more intimately we shall walk in him." Want to have an intimate walk with your Lord? Live in him. Live by faith. So again, back to our text, our original treadmill illustration. Verse 8 again, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." So there's an element of testimony there. Paul is bringing the Ephesians' memory back to the great work that God has done in saving them. You trust him with your soul for all of eternity. Will you now trust him with your life for these few days on earth? Walk as children of light now and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. On that treadmill of life, we must always be moving forward. There's a great danger in the Christian life of stopping, of getting lazy. We could go into the illustration about physical exercise, and many of us know what happens when you stop. In our house, one of the statements we make regularly is, "Oh, I shouldn't have sat down." Because when the body stops, it wants to say, "Stopped." But the same thing happens to us spiritually. The temptations of the world and the flesh will immediately begin to pull us back into our old ways, our old habits, with serious consequences. So Paul's admonition is simple and yet profound. He says to the church in Ephesus, keep walking. Walk in love, in verse 2, is actually keep walking in verse 8. Keep walking as children of light. It's so simple because it's such an elementary command. Just walk with the Lord. But it's profound because our obedience and disobedience to it has a tremendous impact, not just on our immediate temporal lives, but also for all eternity, for us and for those around us. I want to illustrate what Paul is teaching here by using a gospel's illustration, something that Jesus used as an illustration. If we were to work our way through the Bible and look at the purpose statements that God gives to us as people, we would come up with a number of them. And if I were to just kind of open it up here, I'm sure we would hear, well, if God, the purpose statements, well, God, we know in Ecclesiastes, God wants us to fear Him. Fear God, Ecclesiastes 12:13. That's a purpose statement. To understand what it means to fear the Lord. John chapter 14, 1 John chapter 5, keep God's commandments. We are told as believers to live that way, to keep God's commandments. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, love God, how much? With everything. With all you've got. Give everything to Him, love God. Mark chapter 12, verse 31, what's a purpose statement God gives to His followers? Love others. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, here's the big exclamation point. How am I supposed to live my life? Okay, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. These are purpose statements. 1 Corinthians 6:20, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Purpose statements. Those statements all reveal the character of the Father. They are given so that we can, as we read in Ephesians, we can imitate Him. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. In other words, the command to walk is the command to bear a family resemblance. Here's what Jesus taught. You remember in Luke chapter 15, the story that Jesus tells of the parable of the sons. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. But really, there's a story there of two sons. But what was the mentality? What was the walk? What was the life of the prodigal? Was it fear God, keep His commandments, love God, love others, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly? That wasn't it, right? The life of the prodigal was a life of skip the family, bail on my responsibilities, walk my own way, give me what I want, and all of that led to aimless wanderings pursuing your flesh. And his brother wasn't much better, was he? As long as I get the recognition and the attention that I deserve, I'll be happy. That was the brother. I'm owed. They both had a sense of entitlement. As a result of that sense of entitlement, they rebelled. They turned away. Rebellion simply means to turn on someone. And we all have that natural yearning for that autonomous walk. In other words, let me live my life my way. You've heard people say it. You may have even thought it yourself. Hey, will you just leave me alone and let me live my own life? I don't need someone telling me what to do. We've raised six children. We've heard that a few times. But we've also thought it. I don't need somebody else's opinion on this. I don't need someone else telling me what to do. And so what we end up doing in our hearts is grabbing hold of that yearning for an autonomous life. I'm in control. And what that means is that in a return to darkened eyes, we attempt to find purpose and meaning in life apart from the perfect family, apart from God's family, apart from the kingdom of God, apart from the God who loves and cares and is active and involved and knows exactly what He's doing. We reject God's purpose statements. You'll remember Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 16:25, both of them say exactly the same thing. There is a way that seems right to man, and the end thereof is the way of death. Why is it repeated? It's repeated again and again because it is so true. It is foundational to who we are as rebellious sinners. When we lean into ourself, when I lean into my own way and my own walk, I am rebelling against the family, and I'm rebelling against the Father that has so graciously saved me. And at those times, it seems so hopeless. But remember what God has done. This is where the cross and the work of Christ comes into play. God gives us purpose statements. We all have prodigal yearnings. And then what does God do? God shows us the mercy of the cross. Well, I thought the focus of the cross is salvation. It is. It is. Do you guys have hymnals? This just popped into my mind. This is never recommended in pulpit speech. Never go with what pops into your mind, but I think this would be... Do you have Rock of Ages? Could you check and see if Rock of Ages is in there? If it is, just flag me down. If not, you can do your own research on why I wanted to turn... Do you have it? Could you read verse 1 to us of Rock of Ages? All right. Be of sin a double cure. Read it. The next line. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Here's what the cross of Jesus Christ does for the one who turns his face away. If you are a believer today, you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You are justified, and positionally, you stand forgiven. You stand forgiven. You stand forgiven. In the eyes of God, as someone who is righteous. Why? What do I have to do to earn it? You can't. It was given to you by the death of Christ. And when you accepted the gift of salvation, you were granted justification. You were made righteous. This is what God does. But let me ask you a question. Are you perfectly righteous in your life? How's that walk? How's that Christian walk? Hey, ever sin? No, of course not. Yes, you do. And I do too. We do sin. The double cure is this, is that not only am I positionally made right with God through the shed blood of Jesus, I am also positioned to overcome sin's power in my life and actually walk a life of purity. This is the power of God. He's not done when He saves your soul. He keeps growing you. It's the doctrine of progressive sanctification. He keeps growing you. And so the hope for the prodigal is to come to God in humility and know the invitation, the love to come back into the family and not rebel against the family. And so what happens is the commands continue. Okay, you know your sin? All right, in your walk with Jesus, be holy, for I am holy. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as beloved children. Will you do that perfectly? No, but God in His patience and in His grace and in His power ensures that we will not only stand righteous, but we will be challenged and given the power to live righteous. Chapter 5, verse 8, live as children. Philippians 2:5, have this attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All of these are familial exhortations. They're blessings on the family. Why? So that we can walk again in the family of God. Again, I'm not suggesting that we can lose our position in the family. We were given this gift by grace. It is held by grace. We did nothing to earn it. We can do nothing to lose it. But we can lose our effectiveness for and our fellowship with the family. And so one of the very first verses that children often learn, besides John 3:16, is 1 John 1:9. Adults never lose the wonder of 1 John 1:9. It is what allows you to keep walking with the Lord. If we sin, we have an opportunity. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Cleanse us from all impurity so that we can continue to walk in a God-honoring way. So when we read Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, for me to walk now through my life is all about Christ," that ought to edify us, teaching us that we can continue to walk with Him, that He does faithfully forgive, that He does cleanse us, that He does empower us to live for Him. When we read 2 Corinthians 5:20 that says that we are now Christ's ambassadors, we can walk, we can live as a functional part of the family. We can do this not because of our efforts, but all because of God's love demonstrated when Jesus died for my sins. A new life that was secured when God raised Jesus from the dead. And a life that is realized as powerful because of the work of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Scriptures as they grow me for all of my days left here on earth. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the local church. God has this plan so well knit together. He has set us up for success. Will we always get it right? No. But because of His grace, there is forgiveness found in Christ, and there is a family that is walking together, living a life together here that is seeking to please God and be light for Him and a testimony for Him and to make much of His name. So as we consider in a very practical way what this means, let me address a few of you who are serving here at Calvary Baptist Church. Sunday school teachers. Oh, they're not in here. Oh, Sunday school teachers are in here. Junior church workers. Well, hey, those of you who are Sunday school workers who are in here, communicate this to junior church workers because it works for them too. Are there not times when you think that your teaching is absolutely useless? I mean, if you've sat in a classroom of little ones, I mean, you've spent all this time preparing wisdom from God's Word, and you start talking, and it's like you're not even in the room. I mean, little Johnny, he's more interested with the gum on his shoe. He wants to eat it. Little Susie is playing with the braids in her hair. There's a couple other kids who are who are just off in la-la land somewhere. And sometimes as a teacher, you might not be able to see your influence. Sometimes as a youth worker, you work with teenagers, and you might think you're having no impact. As a parent, you say, "Ugh, I'm such a failure. How could I possibly impact my kids in a positive way? How can I point them to Christ when I can't even keep my own life together?" Maybe personally, you don't see the growth that you want to see in your own walk with the Lord. What Paul is communicating to the church at Ephesus, to the family of God in Ephesus, to the believers who are gathered together there, just like we are gathered together here, what he is communicating to them is there is a time to remember that Christ loved you and Christ saved you. There is also a time to keep going as a child of light. Remember your purpose, believer. You have been saved not just to put another notch on the measuring stick. Okay, yep, saved another one, saved another one, saved another one. You have been saved by the love of God and for the glory of God and for your eternal good. God knows you personally. Ma'am, he knows you sitting in that Sunday school class. Sir, he knows you working with those teenagers. Parents, he knows of the struggles in your house. When nobody else in the church knows what's going on in there, when Pastor Sam has no idea what's going on in there, God knows. God is at work. Ma'am, sir, that struggle that's going on in your heart and mind, God's there. God's there. And his arms are open wide with the forgiveness and cleansing you need, and with the power to continue walking with him. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. That's for you. That's for me. You say, "I fail and I fail and I fail." I know, so do I. So what do? We go to the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, now he was speaking of salvation, but again, if he can save my soul for all of eternity, can he not help me live my temporal life here? This is the way. Walk in it. He wants us to keep walking. As we go, we are to be leaning into him. As we go, we are to be resting in his truth, resting in his promises, gleaning from all that he has preserved for us. And actively involved here in the family of God, allowing believers to come alongside and one another us, because they're going through similar circumstances and they need to be challenged to walk with the Lord as well. So my closing questions for you today are these. How goes your daily walk? How are you doing? How's your faith working for you? It's intended to work. The gospel is meant to change your life. So how goes your daily walk? Does your life bear a striking resemblance to the family of God? Or have you caved and followed some of those prodigal yearnings to run out on the one who loves and sacrificed so personally for you? Unbeliever, the invitation is open to recognize, to admit you are a sinner, a rebel. You're a rebel. You stand in opposition to God. But that's good news. You're a sinner, and that's good news. because Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. You can have a new life today. Those of you who are believers and you have that new life, how's it going keeping in shape? How's it going walking the treadmill? God's going to keep it going. He wants it to keep going. We stand still. We get lazy. We're going to fall on our face. But what He always provides for us is a way back. Through forgiveness, through cleansing, through new growth available to those in the family. Calvary Baptist Church is a great place to be, to get on track and to stay on track. Connect with the ones who love God and together be imitators of Him as beloved children, walking in the love of Christ as He has loved you.